about it, man.
Yeah, brother, like, solid. Right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. I think we're going to get a little bit of a warm-up today.
Yeah, and for the next, you know, man, it's the middle of May.
Yeah, it might be. Start feeling like summer here.
Yeah. Well, I'll accept spring, late spring.
Yeah. Let's not count our eggs too soon.
All right. Listen, it's Wednesday. It is Wednesday.
Yes, it is.
It's Wednesday. So that means none other than our good friend, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, will be joining us. But I have a very, very special guest who is joining us this morning. Miss Mary Sanderson, and, you know, I ran across her a couple times in the past when I was doing a couple live radio shows in Nasal Mania, and it's good to see you, my friend. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much, and good to see you, too.
You are still fighting the battle. Why? Why are you still fighting the battle?
Well, now you say fighting. I don't know. I kind of feel like when we're all like this, it's work and play kind of get to be the same thing. The things you really care about, you just go for because what the heck?
Well, and you know, those things you're talking about are really things that can change the fabric of our nation, change the trajectory of the future of children, and really make the world a better place. Is it safe to say that?
Well, that's what we're hoping for. I mean, what are we doing here otherwise?
Well, there's some other folks who know what they're doing, and it's not what you and I and others like us agree.
It's true. I think that's true. A lot of people have fallen into the traps. It's the system is kind of a trap, and people fall into thinking that it has to be me first, and it's fear, you know, if I don't get out there and climb up on everybody else, then I'm going to land in the gutter myself, and we're afraid of scarcity, but the scarcity is arbitrary. The natural world is abundant.
It truly is, and you know, Mary, it's why I love, I'm going to love our conversation today. And I always enjoy talking to you because, you know, you get it. You know, we're all sheep. And we don't have to all be sheep, right? We really don't have to all be sheep. And there's enough to go around. The world is abundant, right?
Yes, sir. Earl, I totally agree.
And yet we live at a time where there are people who don't buy into that there's enough for everybody. And so they somehow think that because I need to get as much as I can get because it makes me somehow better than another person. We've got to work to change that. It's not an easy undertaking, and that's what you and others like you are battling and for. And so this Monday, there is a money. Where is it at?
No, this weekend.
This weekend. Oh, this Saturday, May Day. May Day for money.
Right.
What is May Day for money? Because if it has got money in it, I kind of want to be a part of that.
You know. Right. May Day for money is the national debut of an organization that's been working to fix the money system since 2018, and it's the Alliance for Just Money, AFJM, the Alliance for Just Money. We have a great website that I recommend people look at for understanding this money system, which has been purposely complicated so that we all think, oh, leave it to the experts. But anyway, after these several years of organizing and building our networks, we are going to have a rally and a march at the Chicago Federal Reserve Bank on Saturday at noon.
Well,
we're calling out the system. It's the system that's the problem, not the greedy people, in our view.
So 1913, why is 1913 such a critical juncture when we talk about money?
Right. Well, banks have always created money informally among rich people, the people who had something, really had something. They could say, oh, just tell the merchant down there that I'll back you. And then that's lending money, right? And so the rich people have always done it for centuries and centuries. In 1913, the United States became the last big, powerful country to formalize the banking system where even the government must borrow.
By creating the
Federal Reserve System.
You need to repeat that because people really need to understand. Because at the root of that decision is what we're dealing with today.
Right, right. So people have always had to borrow money or before we used money, remember our parents and grandparents, they didn't need too much money.
No, gold and silver.
They worked directly with nature for many of their needs.
Right.
Didn't even go through the commercial world. Well, the Federal Reserve System is our U.S. central bank system. All the European countries have their central bank. And there's even a central bank of central banks. And so there's this huge hierarchy of who has the privilege to lend money, to create money as debt. And the Federal Reserve in this country was created in 1913. It was sold to Congress as a cure for instability. The United States had terrible depressions in 1873, 83, 93. And then in 1907, J.P. Morgan bailed out the government. So Congress, between being ignorant about money and being maybe friends with those people, I'm not sure, bought the idea that the central bank system, like all the Europeans had, would solve our instability problem. And so they passed it on a Friday night before Christmas.
So many of us don't know much about the central bank system because, you know, I don't have the financial resources to even begin to, you know, think about the central bank. Calvin, on the other hand, you know, he's loaded, so he's shaking his head no. But the most of the American people don't know anything about our banking system. They don't understand, and they think that the federal government somehow has control over that central bank system, which they really don't. The central bank has control over our government. What is the central bank? What is that?
It's the bank that organizes banks. You and I do not have access to the central bank. It works exclusively with governments and banks. All the banks have an account at the central bank, and it's not the same money that we use either. It's what they call reserves.
Right.
And it's all money on account. And so the central bank can, every night, all the banks have to tally up, you know, if you receive my check and send it to your bank, then how do the banks square up? Well, they square up through the central bank payment system. And that's pretty cool that the banks can do that. And so there's efficient transfer of money between people who need to use it, regular money. So at night, the computers in all the banks figure out, okay, the upshot is this bank gets this much and that bank gets that much, and all today's transactions are now squared. That's the payment system. That's pretty good. I have no problem with it. And in the solution that we propose, the payment system will be just that slick. However, the central bank can lend to this or that bank by creating reserves, the same way your local bank creates money in your checking account just by pressing on keys, the central bank can create reserves in a bank's account, thereby allowing that bank to create more money on the street.
So let me ask you, there was a time. No, it does. So because there was a time when there had to be gold that would determine what value of money was. There was a time when silver would determine what the value of money was. They took us off of those standards. So the more they print money, there's not gold or silver equivalent to cover that. So where's the value of that paper money? What gives it value?
That is a great question. And I want to answer it. And yes, you're right. Gold and silver used to be the standard and now it's not. But you brought up something a minute ago that I like to respond to, that we don't know. However, our grandparents, they knew. It was front page news. Talk about the money system.
Right.
Talk about, a central bank or not a central bank, and what will happen if. And it was, everybody was in the debate. It was kitchen table talk. And people tried to understand it. People did understand it. But like since the 30s, we don't teach it at school. Kids don't need to know about the monetary system. And by the way, it's better for the people on the inside.
If the people don't know.
The rest of us do not know. Right. And so that's something to keep in mind, that we would be honoring the grandparents if we decide to take this on and wrestle with it as people who pretend to have a democratic system. We have this 200-year-old illusion of self-governance. Are humans going to be capable of self-governance? Well, we're going to have to, as regular humans on the street, participate a lot more and be brave enough to understand the money system that everybody needs to use.
You know, Mary, we've got some text messages. I'm sure people will be calling the phone lines, 844-967-2789. A very interesting conversation with a wonderful, wonderful lady, Miss Mary Sanderson, and who I had the pleasure of meeting in Mazomanie a couple times when I did some live remotes from there. She's here to talk about May Day for Monday, this coming Saturday in Chicago on the Earl Ingram Show. 844-967-2789 is the number. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm joined by the most wonderful person, Miss Mary Sanderson, who I had the pleasure of meeting and having great dialogue with a couple times in Mazomanie, as I did a live remote from the Grassroots Festival. And she's still battling. We're talking about something that's called May Day for Money. Let me read some texts before we go to the phone lines, if it's all right with you, Mary. This is from Stephen. Because bank money is created by making loans equals debt, they didn't actually have the money, but created it out of thin air. Real money is created by sovereign government for free. Tony, I remember Ron Paul saying, audit the Fed. Didn't they say they couldn't because they were too big? Tony, consumer trust. And trust has been lacking recently. Stephen, money has value on the authority of the sovereign government, preferably democratic elected government. And so these are great questions. Not questions, but statements. And let's go to David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Mary. Wonderful conversation. It should be mentioned the first time that we changed with the gold reserve was back in 1933 with President Roosevelt. He suspended that deal with the U.S. Federal Reserve with gold. And part of the Federal Reserve, when they set that bank in 1913, what Mary pointed out, 40% of the gold value, it had to be set against the currency. And eventually what happened was, over time, and then officially was, I think the gold reserve was totally eliminated in 1971. And since that time, if you look, and I've mentioned this to Earl, to you many, many, many times, if you look at the value of the dollar and what's happened, since, we've left, the gold reserve, the dollar has lost exponential amount of purchasing power. So you need more dollars to purchase, the same goods and things and what have you, in order to keep up. And what's happening is, with the printing presses continually, going on like overdrive, it's hurting, people today, because now you got more currency. And then that creates more inflation, and then they have to raise interest rates to calm down the inflation, which affects, people's mortgages. Now everything has gone up because the Federal Reserve controls the rates, and so the banks then have to pass whatever the Federal Reserve does. And it's a central planning that's gone amok, and I agree with Mary, where, again, we have all these variables, and it's hurting a lot of people today. We see it happening today. We can't keep doing this. It's not good.
Hey, David, thank you very much for the call. And Mary, isn't this all of what and the purpose behind the rally that's going to be taking place in Chicago on Saturday? The very things that everybody has said.
Yes, 100%. The money that used to be based on gold, and as David pointed out, hasn't been based on gold for a very long time. It's the money that we have that's all issued as debt. It's an extractive process, an extractive system. And I lost my thought. I appreciate both of those comments and calls. And I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
It's a cool thing I wanted to say.
Well, so you'll remember it, but the bottom line is, as long as the American people aren't educated, we're going to continue to have a handful of people control the finances and the lives of people, not only in our nation, but globally.
That is a bottom line, Earl, and I always appreciate that you keep bringing that up. If we don't participate, we will be, as you say, sheep. We will be treated as sheep as long as we act like sheep. But I wanted to talk to David's point about the consequences and how many people are hurting because of the lack of control over the money supply and the inflation and the loss of value. That's all true. And I would go so far as to say, not just many people, but everybody. Everybody is subject to the instability of this system. This system is a series of booms and busts that's in the system. Anytime there's good financial times and people feel like they're okay with money, there is going to be a bust and a crisis, and people are going to lose their assets, their real property, to the banks and the centrally controlled wealth and power. That's how power has gotten so centralized. by extracting wealth constantly from the people. But even those people in charge, they also are suffering the extraction from nature, the loss of species, the environmental hazards, and their grandchildren are not going to have resources any more than us poor people's grandchildren are going to. The youth today have this fascination with dystopic literature and violent music, and they think of the world as a very horrifying place to move into. And it is becoming like that. And we argue that it has a lot to do with the extractive bank credit money system.
But surely, Mary, this can't be democracy. We talk about democracy.
And we
and,
do.
And we're in love with the thought of democracy, right?
That's right.
But we really, it can't be possible if there's a system that will determine who is going to win, who is going to lose. It's the one thing that we tout that makes us better than the rest of the world, but at the root of it, we're probably worse than the rest of the world with what happens to the people of our nation.
Well, this money system is a worldwide thing. It came from Europe to the United States. It was kind of sneaked in when right after the Revolutionary War, when the country was completely broke and the Congress was these people who were farmers and merchants and had no clue, the banking system, Hamilton was allowed to be the treasurer and to start the bank, and it was the European Central Bank system that he
So, Mary, let's take a halt. 844-967-2789 is the number. I'm joined by the most beautiful lady I've seen in a long time, Miss Mary Sanderson. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Well, don't you know I'm wondering, little girl, I'm wondering, how can I make you love me a little more than you love him? Oh, baby, I'm wondering, little girl, I'm wondering, how can I make you love me a little more than you love him? Oh, baby, Jimmy was your sweetie pie, your precious one. Papa told him things were looking down, and they packed up everything they owned and left this little old town. Each tear I dried for you, the closer our lives grew. I fell in love, it's true, and you say you love me too, but baby, I'm wondering.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm so excited to have on a wonderful, wonderful, and I would call you a friend, Miss Mary Sanderson. And I met her several years back, and probably as recent as last year. I think I was in Mazelmania last year. And,
yes, sir.
You know, doing the Grassroots Festival, a couple of live remotes, and we got to meet. And so she is a part of what is really, I think, a really educational moment. It's called May Day for Money this coming Saturday. It's in Chicago, May 18th. Stand up for economic and monetary justice. And Mary, before we go back, I've got some more texts.
Can I just say a little bit more about May Day for Money?
You're the star of the show.
I want to make sure everybody knows, because Milwaukee isn't that far from Chicago, and people in the Waukesha area might want to join us. It's not just the rally. This is a big educational weekend that we've been planning for months, and we're all excited about. On Friday evening, we're going to start with a film screening and discussion about a new film called Outgrow the System, which is the environmental focus on the money problem, or it's an environmental focus, but it does mention the money problem, which is always just mentioned as a sideline. But So that's going to be at the Climate Action Museum. However, it can also be accessed online. If you cannot go to Chicago, but this interests you, and you don't have a big date on Friday night, you can go to the Alliance for Just Money website, Alliance for Just Money. It's called monetaryalliance.org online. And you can register, you can receive a permission to see the film at home at your convenience, and then you can be on a Zoom to be in the conversation afterwards. Then,
So what is it called again? Monetary?
Monetaryalliance.org.
Okay.
Monetaryalliance.org.
Okay.
Then on Saturday after the rally, we're going to have a play reading of a parable of the on monetary reform. And it's all volunteer amateurs who have had a lot of fun training with a professional director. And that's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be at the High Chicago, which is the hostel downtown on East Ida B. Wells Drive. And then Sunday morning, we're going to have food and fellowship and some teach-ins at the hostel again. That's 24 East Ida B. So if you can go to Chicago, great. If not, I'm hoping a lot of people will like to see the film and register for the conversation on Friday night. And just check out our website.
Yeah, we're going to make sure that, you know, we can connect all those things on our website as well.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you.
Well, no problem. So, Stephen, no, this is Tony again. The wealthy view bust as a great time to buy up cheap assets. I don't think they mind bust. Stephen, this private bank money system extracts wealth from the economy and society and funnels it to the bankers at the top.
Right. Money is. I'd like to comment.
Go ahead.
I'd like to comment on Tony comments about busts, that the wealthy don't mind busts, the ones who survive. But at those top levels of wealth and power, there is also brutal and ruthless competition. And they can fall too. You can be a billionaire today and a nothing tomorrow. So the instability does affect even the most powerful people if they can't stay on top of the pile. It's like that little kid's game. Oh, my God, my little brothers were always playing King on the Mountain.
Yes.
Come on. It's okay for seven-year-old boys, but we're trying to live on Earth here, and we'd like to have the grandchildren have something left. Sorry, go ahead with the
No, this is a fascinating discussion, and I am thrilled to have it with you on the Earl Ingram Show and on Civic Media. I will tell you, Stephen, money is power. The elite few who run the money system run everything else, including our government. When does the rally take place, and where should we find you? We'll make sure we get that up on our site, Calvin. Can we? Yeah, Calvin will take care of all of that. This is a truly enlightening conversation, badly needed. So let me ask you, Mary, when people who does Democrat or Republican matter in the whole scheme of things when we're talking about this? Because you hear people say, well, inflation is up, and Joe Biden is the reason that inflation is up, and while the people are struggling and suffering, it's because of Democratic policies. You say what to that?
Inflation is up, and it's been going on since the system started. You know, when we were kids, we had dime stores.
Yes.
Now we got dollar stores.
Right.
Your 25-cent cup of coffee is $4 now. That has happened over the entire century under this system. I would say that Democrat and Republican doesn't matter as much to the inflation problem as the underlying banking system matters way more. Then as far as us trying to be a democracy and Democrat and Republican, sadly, at this stage, because the power has been very concentrated over this 100 years and the 300 years before that when Europe already had the system, the power is very concentrated and does control both parties. That's a sad thing. We do still have the vote. We do still have freedom of speech to talk. We can talk about, we can have this conversation on the radio without personal consequences, right?
Yes.
Nobody's going to come to my door with a bludgeon. Right. That counts. That totally counts. And it, as more people become engaged and excited and interested, we're going to have more fun.
So based on the premise of May Day for Money, in the 1980s, we had a, they were talking about an unbelievable $2 trillion deficit. In the 1980s, I remember it was, hey, the sky is falling. We've got a $2 trillion deficit. What are we going to do? It's over $30 trillion, $34 trillion and counting. So,
yep.
So that is what is at the root of all of these different things. Our nations are so indebted. And who are they indebted to, Mary? I mean, at the root of it, who do we owe the money to?
Oh, boy, Earl, you hit on the great question. I mean, the really, not just for the radio show, that is a question we all need to go to bed sleeping about, thinking about. Who do we owe? Okay, we all owe. We're all feeling the burden of the debt. And can I make this payment? And what am I going to do? And where am I going to get? Who do we owe?
Right.
Who do we owe? Well, in the current system, the way things are set up right now with the law and whatnot, we owe the banking system. But the banking system, that's humans, investors, people who will feel like they're on top, whatever. But that's a question for discussion. You know, who do we owe and why do we have to owe? Why? That's my, really. Why do we have to always owe? If the earth is an abundant planet, and okay, here's one problem. This banking system forces us to compete with each other. Because there's so much debt, we can't even, sometimes people don't feel like they can even take care of their neighbor or do something kind and generous because they are afraid of scarcity. We have to compete and be stingy in this system. But we've learned, ancient people knew that life is about generosity and abundance. And if we can get out of this system, then we can listen to our better angels. We can just have more chance of a nice life on earth.
You know, if you're just joining us, May Day for Money, M-O-N-E-Y, is going to be taking place this Saturday in Chicago. We're clearly going to be able to have some information on how you can access it. As Mary said, you can do this at your own home. So we'll put those, Calvin, to make sure that stuff is up on our sites. It's a great conversation, Mary. Let's go back to the text lines. The investment bankers love the upside risk as much, and this is Mike, the upside risk as much as they manage destruction. Going up or down, they loathe static, slow growth. You know, Mary, there's this struggle right now. President Joe Biden is fighting feverishly with the banks to cap credit card late fees at $8. And who would be against that? I mean, Democrat or Republican, why should somebody be allowed to gouge you on your late fee? Excuse me. So Joe Biden wanted to put it at $8. But you know what happened on the way to the farm, on the way to Donnybrook Farm? The Federal Reserve judge in the federal judge in Fort Worth, Texas, blocked a new Biden administration rule that would prohibit credit card companies from charging customers late fees higher than $8. So why did they do that? Because they're charging on average $32 for a late fee, which is destroying Democrats and Republicans. And so the lobbyists, the banks sick their lobbyists on the elected officials. The people we elected to look out for us, the banks sick their lobbyists on them and force the elected officials to say no to President Biden as he was attempting to help the American people. This is what we're up against, Mary. It's why people need to be educated, because we blindly, we're sheep. And so we don't know. And so what you guys are doing this Saturday is a beginning. And I'm going to bring you on again and again and again, because we can't fix it in 1 hour. But there's so much to this.
You can't fix it in 1 hour?
In 10 lifetimes, we can't fix it unless we educate the people.
Right, in 10 lifetimes or... And I personally kind of bank on this. I trust this system to keep bringing the crises. And first, let me say, I really appreciate that you bring up this effort Joe Biden is making to cap the credit card fees, extra fees. That is just shameful and horrible. And how you're right. The people who foil him, it's because they're on the wrong side of things. But this system will keep bringing crises, and crises can generate real change. It's not like step by step, slowly, slowly, slowly. No, suddenly there's a big change. And if we can be ready to make it a good one.
All right. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You heard it from Mary Sanderson. 844-967-2789 on the Earl Ingram Show. Sure. And the pain I can't endure, baby, I'm worried. Really, really worried. I wanna make you happy. Really, truly happy, baby, baby, I'm wondering. Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Miss Mary Sanderson, and she is here to talk about, again, this coming Saturday, May Day for Money. It's going to be taking place in Chicago. Let's go to Lynn from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Lynn. Thank you for calling. You say what?
Well, I started in banking in the early 1970s. I worked at a bank that asked me to sell their Elan, one of the first credit cards, and they wanted to put it in my husband's name. He was a student, and I was working, and I said, I'm not selling your card if it's not in my name. So I may have initiated having the Elan credit card in.
Really?
Initiating women. Yes, this was maybe 1972. I took money in banking in college. I don't remember much because I did end up on the lending side, which was much more fun than being a teller. But when I was a teller, I bought and sold treasury bills. I invested the bank surplus funds. But a lot of our debt is owned by the people in the United States. I believe it's about 70%. And certain things I don't understand was why the marijuana industry just doesn't create its own banking system. I had an acquaintance who was going to start his own bank, but credit unions used to be able to be capitalized by about 500 members and 5 million in assets, which, I mean, it sounds like a lot of money, but you get a few friends together, you know, 500 of them, and you could create your own credit union. And I believe they have changed those rules. But so I was involved in bank, and the best way is maybe to own bank stocks.
Well, you know, Lynn, everybody can own banks and bank stocks, and the majority of the American people are at the whim of those banks.
I would like to ask Lynn a question.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Mary.
Lynn, hi, how are you? I want to ask you a question.
I'm well, thank you.
This is so interesting that you've had all this experience and you've worked in banks, and I wonder if, did you realize when you were a loan officer, did you even know that the money that you were putting into people's accounts was being created at that very moment by your bank? Or did you think it was coming from somewhere?
Oh, no. I really am a proponent of creating money. And that's how you create jobs in the country. I ended up in economic development and actually lending money through NGOs.
Oh, so, yes. So, well, then you might have a strong opinion too about the private banks lending for their own purposes to build their own power base and so forth, as opposed to what if there was true democracy and a truly representative government was in charge of creating that money by lending even at 0 or 1% interest, instead of lending to build power, lending to distribute wealth, to allow people to distribute wealth among themselves, a different purpose for the money creation. How would you like that?
Well, I'd have to go back and look at what the current laws are regarding credit unions. And they're the people, the depositors own the entity. But I haven't been involved in banking other than having accounts recently. But I know the laws changed, but there used to be like a little credit union and over on just north of Brady on Humboldt.
Well, Lynn,
they have neighborhood credit unions.
Lynn, I wish I had more time, but I tell you, I make a commitment to Mary that we will have Mary back on again and again and again, because there's so much here that I would be remiss if we didn't have her on more, because nothing's more critically important than this conversation, especially right now. And Mary, we didn't talk, and thank you very much for the call. We didn't even talk about the defense spending and why and the money and what happens to it. So, Mary, let's talk again about tomorrow, about Saturday, and that information quickly.
Right. Saturday, downtown Chicago, 210 South Dearborn Street. In front of a federal building there, it's a building a block away from the Chicago Federal Reserve, 210 South Dearborn Street. There's a big Alexander Calder flamingo sculpture is where we'll meet at 11:30 at the Alexander Calder flamingo sculpture on Dearborn Street in downtown Chicago in the Loop. The rally will start at 12. On our website at the events page, May Day, it's easy to find a map of our march route and a schedule of all the events for the whole weekend. And we have messages of solidarity from Korea, from a Spanish-speaking money reform group in several countries, and from several organizations from Move to Amend. Our co-hosts and co-sponsors will have their message of solidarity for monetary reform
weekend. I'm sorry we have to leave it there, but I will be in touch with you. I promise you. Have a great event. I'm going to watch it via email.
Many, many thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Up next, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Up next.